Here at South Hills Church this year, we're talking about the question, do you believe? And today, we're going to talk about faith in the power of prayer. We believe that if you come to God in the name of Jesus, there is power in prayer. Okay, everybody that believes that, say amen. Okay. Now, I want to encourage the moms and the grandmas today. Moms, you're so special. We appreciate you. And sometimes moms, they want to look their best. They want to look pretty. But I want to tell you, there's something that is more important and has a greater impact on your families than how you look. Okay. Or what you're wearing today, though you're all very beautiful. So I'd like us to go to God's word right now, John chapter 14, and we're going to hear what Jesus says about prayer. And though I'm going to focus on the moms a little bit today, I hope that all of you can hear the word of God for your life as well. So please stand as we have a tradition of standing for the reading of God's word. John 14, beginning with verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Father in heaven, I thank you for this amazing gift of prayer that you have given to your people. Lord God, we have to confess that so often we go through a day and we do not take time to pray. So, Lord God, thank you for your forgiveness. Lord, I pray for someone maybe in this room that has had a hard time believing that prayer works. Maybe in their lifetime they've had prayers go unanswered. I pray they would see the power of praying in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, I pray you would do an amazing thing in this room here in the next few minutes. Open our eyes to see the power you have given to your children. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. On this Mother's Day, I would like to, first of all, thank my mom, who's living with us. She'll be here at the second service. She'll be 92 this summer. And I want to thank her publicly for faithfully praying for me. I don't remember a day where she has not spent time in God's Word and she has prayed for me. I believe that I am who I am today because of the prayers of my mom. I also want to publicly thank my wife, who also, for 43 years this June, we've been together, and she also has faithfully prayed for me every day. And I don't know what I would be without her prayers. Why do I have two women that are praying desperately for me every day? I don't know. Maybe there's something they're seeing in my life. I don't know. But I thank God for their faithfulness in prayer. Armin Geswine said these words about prayer in the early church. The early church didn't have a prayer meeting. Now listen to those words. They did not have a prayer meeting. The early church was the prayer meeting. In fact, in the early church, every Christian was a prayer meeting Christian. Edwin Keith said these words, prayer is exhaling the spirit of man and inhaling the spirit of God. Now, I need to admit this one truth, where as we talk throughout this year about the many religions and the many ways of having faith, I need to admit this. Every religion in the world from all time practices some form of prayer. Prayer, the word prayer, is not unique to Christianity. But I want to tell you what is unique to Christianity is that we pray in the name of Jesus, all right? And because of that, we have power in our prayer. It's not just a religious exercise. It's not just what you do at church. It's power with God. Okay, now, here's the question I want to zero in on. In what ways, then, that's quite a claim, Pastor Phil. So, what ways does Jesus bring power to our prayers? If you trust in Jesus Christ today and you surrender to Him and then you begin to go to God in the name of Jesus in your prayers, what kind of power will be available to you? I'm going to give you three quick thoughts here this morning. Excuse me. Can't start with number two. We're going to start with number one. We are promised by God through prayer in the name of Jesus to do a great work. Are you ready to see a great work in your family? Are you ready to see a great work through your family, in the lives of your kids and your grandkids? Are you ready when you pray to see a great work happen in the lives of the people that you are praying for? Now listen to the words of Jesus, John 14:12. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me. Now, in the Greek language, that believes in me is in the emphatic position, which means it is the foremost thought in the Greek sentence. Believers in me is what he's saying. Those that have put their trust in me, those that rely upon me. You see, Christianity is a relationship with Jesus, and you have trusted in Him. You would say, Jesus, I'm going to follow You. I'm going to live for You. I'm going to rely on You every day. Jesus makes this promise. Believers in Me, emphatic, crucial, highest importance, will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will He do. That's quite a statement that Jesus is promising to us. Now, we do need to make a clarification. When Jesus says you can do greater works than He did, we know we cannot match Jesus. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the Son of God in flesh. So what is He promising to us? Well, let's clarify. We can do a greater work than Jesus because, first of all, of time. Jesus had 33 years on this earth physically, three and a half years of ministry. And we as the church have had over 2000 years. OK, so over time, greater works have been done than what Jesus did in the 3.5 years he did. Also, geography. Jesus spent most of his time in Israel, a little bit of time outside in Phoenician, but pretty much limited to that area of geography. We as the church have an opportunity to reach the whole world for Jesus, okay? Greater in the amount of people that can be reached, the quantity, the numbers of people, the diversity of people. Jesus primarily worked with Jews. He had some ministry with the Romans, had some ministry with Phoenicia. Ethiopian eunuch comes to Christ with the early church, but pretty much it was limited to a few nationalities. But now, through the power of prayer, through the work of the church, all people, all nations, and the quantity of people, the millions of people, can be reached. Moms, grandmas, when you pray for your kids, you are praying for a great work to happen in them and through them. You are praying that God will multiply the kingdom of God through your kids and grandkids. Let me give you a story of a 9-year-old. True story. Not too much long ago, this 9-year-old had to go to the hospital for a surgery. Let me just give you a quick conversation. He was quite fascinated, by the way, with a doctor that had a hat that was covered in frogs. And so he started talking to the doctor, And the little 9-year-old said, Doctor, can I ask you a question? Do you go to church? The doctor says, no, I probably should, but I don't. And then the little 9-year-old said, well, are you saved? Okay, now the doctor's getting kind of nervous. And he says, well, I don't know if I am or not. And the 9-year-old says, well, you should, because Jesus is really great. And then the doctor says, well, I'm sure he is, little guy. It's now time to go to your surgery, you know. So now they get into the surgical room, and they're ready to put the mask on this 9-year-old, ready to put him out for his surgery. And he raises his hand, and he says, can I say something? So they take the mask off, and usually a 9-year-old's going to be afraid or, you know, whatever about the surgery. And the 9-year-old said, doctor, can I pray for you before you operate on me? So they said, okay. And this little 9-year-old named Austin prayed this prayer. Dear Lord, please let all the doctors and nurses have a good day. And Jesus, please let the doctor with the frog hat get saved and start going to church. Amen. Then they put the mask on. They do the surgery. And during the follow-up after the surgery, they're in the room. Some nurses came into the room to talk to little Austin and to the parents. This one nurse had a big smile on her face, and she said these words, there's something you should know. Some of the other nurses and I have been witnessing to and praying for that doctor for a long time. After your son's surgery, he tracked a few of us down to tell us about Austin's prayer. He said, well, girls, you got me. If that little boy could pray for me when he was about to have surgery, then I think maybe I need his Jesus too. Moms, grandmas, maybe anyone in this room, you might think you have limited ability to make a difference. Okay. I want to tell you, if you take prayer seriously, you go to God and you say, God, I'm going to give you some names of some people. I want you to work powerfully in them and through them today. You have a 9-year-old grandson or great grandson. I want you to work powerfully in him and through him today. I want you to work powerfully through these kids, through these grandkids, through my husband, through these aunts and uncles, and you have cousins and nephews and nieces, and you've got other people in your network. You take prayer seriously and you say, God, you have promised to do a great work. If we come to you in the name of Jesus, and I'm going to come to you in the name of Jesus, and I'm going to come every single day like that woman that came to Jesus I told the kids about. And I am not going to give up praying for these people, and I'm going to ask you to do a great work in them and through them. This little Austin, 9-year-old, did a great work that day in the hospital. And God used him powerfully. Now, Jesus goes on and says, we can have this promise of a great work because I am going to the Father. This is what Jesus says. Now, why would that make a difference? Why would a prayer in the name of Jesus be more powerful than just prayer generally? Because, first of all, we believe as Christians that Jesus is our only mediator between us and God. And he is going to go to the Father and he is going to do a work. He is going to be our mediator. When we speak, Jesus will say, I'm with this prayer. Okay. Jesus also promises when he goes to the Father that he's going to send the Holy Spirit to help us. So we have the Holy Spirit enabling us and helping us to pray the prayers that we need to pray. Also, Jesus will have access to the resources of heaven on your behalf. Isn't that awesome? Okay. So when you pray in the name of Jesus, you have a confidence that Jesus is opening the door. He's the mediator. You have confidence Jesus will send the Holy Spirit and minister to us. And he's going to open the door of heaven for all the resources you possibly need. I want to tell you, that's powerful prayer right there. Now, verse 13, he goes on and says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So now I want to make it very clear. When you pray in the name of Jesus, it is not a magic formula. Okay. It is not this little thing you throw at the end of a prayer and go, well, now God has to answer it because I threw in the name of Jesus. You know, okay. That is not what it's teaching. When you pray in the name of Jesus, what you're doing, the word name here means you are praying according to his priorities. It's something that he would sign his name to. Okay. So, you know, you take your kid to go find his first car. Okay. And he immediately goes to all the sports cars and the convertibles and the bright red colors, and it's got this fast and speedy, and you go over to the practical cars, right? Okay. But your son says, but I want the fast one right here, Dad. It's only like $60 zillion. And the dad says, I'm not signing my name to that. Okay. You see, when you go to God in prayer and you pray for the things that Jesus would pray for, according to his priorities, there's power with the Father. Okay. According to his approval, what he would approve, what he would sign off on. You are praying in his name according to his access. You realize humbly that you have no place before a holy God except for the blood of Jesus. He's the one who's given you access to the Heavenly Father. You are praying according to his kingdom. Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when you pray for the kingdom of God, and what's according to the kingdom of God's values, you have great power. If you pray according to your kingdom, there's no power. Okay. Also, it means his character. So when you pray a prayer that is inconsistent with the character of Jesus, Jesus, I don't like that person. Would you just get rid of him for me and throw him away? I don't want to have to see him anymore. Jesus says, can't sign my name to that one because I love everybody. Could you come up with a different prayer that I could be on the same page with you? Okay, Jesus, would you help me learn how to love him or her? And Jesus says, I can do that. That's my character. That's who I am. See, God loves to answer prayers when we are in sync with who he is. When we represent Jesus, his priorities, his character, his passion, his kingdom, doing his work on his behalf, guess what? Doors open. Ministry multiplies. Jesus says, I want you to have power in your prayers. I want you to see a great work in prayer, but you need to get on my page. If you never get on my page, your soul is surrendered to me. We're going to have a problem with this thing called prayer. When I grew up a long time ago in elementary school, we did the Pledge of Allegiance every morning. I think that's a good thing, by the way. But I looked around in the classroom, and maybe you've seen this. It happens maybe at ball games or other ceremonies, and they do the Pledge of Allegiance. And there are some people that are going through the motions. They're not really doing it. They're distracted. They don't have their hand over their heart. They're just kind of doing it, but not really doing it. And then you see a video clip every once in a while where new citizens into the United States. There was one recently where there was new citizens that were being sworn in. And they do the Pledge of Allegiance. They got tears in their eyes. They just can't believe they're so blessed to be here. And every single word of the Pledge of Allegiance means something. Okay. When we talk about prayer, some people kind of, oh, yeah, I got to pray. God be good. God be great. You know, give us some food or whatever, you know, and amen. You know, that is not powerful prayer. Okay. Verse 14, if you ask me anything in my name, you come to God, totally surrender to Jesus, in sync with his priorities, I will do it. Philippians 4:19. My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. You see how that works? You got the resources of heaven, and the name of Christ is over the resources of heaven. And when you come to God in the name of Jesus, those resources are available to you. Please understand, we have a generous God who desires to do great things through the prayers of his people. Saint Teresa of Avila said this: you pay God a compliment by asking great things of him. God, I don't think you can do much. Boy, this is really hopeless. But I'm told Pastor Phil said I got to pray. So, yeah, do what you can do, but I really don't think you can do it. That's not much of a confidence in God. But if you go to God and say, God, I'm claiming today that you're going to do great things through my family. I don't know how, but I believe you are up to the challenge. Armin Geswine also said these words, if God wants us to pray without ceasing, it is because he wants to answer without ceasing. Isn't that an amazing thought? We have a God who wants to do great things through the power of prayer in the name of Jesus. Let me just share with you victories for your family. Victories do not come by accident. They come because God's people are fervently praying in the name of Jesus. Now, number two, I want to share with you. Through the power of the name of Jesus in prayer, he wants to give us grace and truth. So as you pray, and you're praying for your family, how many of your families need some grace? Oh, my. Do you know you're not in a perfect family? Do you know that? Maybe that's a new thought for you. Colossians 4:2 says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Okay, so he wants prayer to be part of our lifestyle. The word continue means don't give up. Persist. Romans 12:12 says, be constant in prayer. Acts 2:42 says they were devoted. They devoted themselves to prayer. So to continue means people should look at our choices, our priorities, our lifestyle. Next slide, please. And they should see this is not just something we throw into our life. This is something that defines who I am. Philippians 4:6 says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So now I want to tell you, when we talk about prayer for your family, oh boy, Uncle so-and-so, man, they are such a jerk. God, I don't know what to do with that guy, man. And then my grand, oh man, God, what a mess my family is. I don't know what you can do with them, but oh my goodness. Okay, that's not prayer. Okay. Prayer is to do it with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances. So there's going to be bad things that happen in and through your family. Your families are not perfect. They're going to make a mess of things. They're going to make wrong choices. Maybe right now they're on the wrong path. Father, I thank you that you don't give up on anybody. I thank you that you have a plan for this person's life. I thank you that you have the power to change the situation. I thank you that your spirit is working right now in their life. You see, Satan wants you to think that prayer won't work and for you just to give up. In Priscilla Shire's book called Fervent, she said this about Satan. Satan wants you living in a state of defeat, your defenses down, your resolve weak and flimsy. Surrendering to an army of insecurities and misdiagnosis instead of courageously thriving in the sophisticated security of your identity in Christ. You see, Satan wants you to stop praying for your family. Satan wants you to say there's no hope. But the Bible says, come to God with thanksgiving. Come to God with the attitude that God is not finished with them yet. Now look at verse 3 of Colossians 4. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ on account of which I am in prison. So you might need to pray, God, they need your grace. They need your truth. I cannot do it. I'm too far away or they're not listening to me anymore. Would you open a door so that some Christ follower could speak into their life? Someone could speak grace and truth into their life. That's what Paul was asking. Please pray for me. I need an open door. You can't force Jesus on people, by the way. Do you know that? But you can pray for an open door. 1 Corinthians 16:9 says, for a wide door for effective work is open to me. So there are closed doors and there's open doors. Paul says, pray for a wide door. And then he says in verse 4, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. One of the things you're going to pray for is God, we need God, we need your grace and we need your truth into our family. And if it's not me, would you open a door for someone to speak into their lives? And even when I speak, would you give me wisdom on how to speak? You know, there's a right way to talk to your family and there's a wrong way. If you're judging and attacking and accusing and throwing guilt, that's probably not going to open a door of opportunity. But if you pray for the right words so that you can speak grace into their life, verse 5 says, walk in wisdom toward outsiders. That could be also your family, but those that don't know Jesus. Making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Ephesians 5:16 also says that. You see, we live in an upside down world, do we not? And it's getting more upside down every day. So what do? Well, we just give up, right? Oh, no, man, the word of God is clear. We are in days of evil, but now that gives us a greater urgency to pray. And in verse 6, Paul says, pray that my speech will always be gracious, full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you to answer each person. So you're praying, God, my family needs your grace and my family needs your truth. Lord God, help me, first of all, to speak with grace and truth to my family. But Lord God, help other people that are speaking into their life also have opportunity to speak grace and truth. I'm not just talking to moms right now, but Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. One of the things you should be praying for is, Lord God, I want to speak grace into my family. I want to speak truth into my family, but I need to do it with grace. And Lord, I can't do this without your help. So in the name of Jesus, I come to you and I ask for you to help me speak grace and truth to my family. Give me the words to say. And Lord God, would other people that come to my family's side, would they speak grace and truth? Would they know how to answer the questions that they have? Can I just say, we should be grace dispensers as Christ followers. I came across this quote. I love this. No matter how many steps you have taken away from God, it still only takes one step to come back. That is an amazing statement of God's grace. In fact, if you're here this morning and you've been away from God, you've done your own thing, somehow you ended up in this service. Maybe it's Mother's Day and there's going to be a brunch afterwards. I don't know. But here you are. I want to tell you, doesn't matter how far you've been away from God, it takes one step to come back to him. That God never gives up on us. He loves you very much. And his grace is available to you right now. The third thing I want to share with you very quickly is that there is great power in prayer. And you can pray for God to give victory. You see, the enemy wants to give you a lie that somehow he has the victory and you might as well give up. But Ephesians 6:18, which is the context, is the armor of God in the battle against Satan. In that, he tells us that if we intercede for our families, if we pray for one another, we can see victory happen over the enemy. So Paul says in verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So what he's telling us is that there's a battle raging across the kingdom of God and the family of God. And Satan wants to get the advantage. But you have a weapon called prayer, and if you believe in the power of the name of Jesus, and there's power in prayer, you can have confidence that Jesus still gives victory. Okay. Now, maybe you feel like you're too far away from your kids or your grandkids. There is a desperate need for moms today. In New York City, they actually have an ad you can get. It's called Rent a Mom. For $40 an hour, moms, you didn't know you were worth that much. I don't know. For $40 an hour, you can have your very own mother figure help you make a tough decision, provide emotional support, or make you homemade pumpkin pie when you're spending the holidays alone. No judgment included. Rent a mom service for times when you just need your mommy, according to the article. Interesting. Rent a mom. Times when you just need your mommy. Interesting. I want to tell you, there is something greater than just having a pumpkin pie on a holiday to have a mom or a grandma interceding in prayer for you. Someone said this, I'm trying to see every need as a call to prayer, every face as a chance for intercession, every piece of bad news as a call to pray and work. So you're on the phone and your family's having problems, your kids are struggling, your grandkids are struggling, the things are falling apart, Satan's getting an advantage, Satan is getting the victory. Oh, wait a second, I haven't pulled out the weapon called prayer yet. So you hear all this bad news, and then you get on your knees and you say, Jesus, I'm coming to you in your name, and I'm claiming the victory that you have promised. Priscilla Shire in her book Fervent also said these words, in spiritual warfare, as we detect enemy activity and deploy the various pieces of armor, our prayers need to be fervent and specific, strategic and personal, tied to the specific needs arising at the specific occasion. Don't just say, blessed so-and-so. Go to God and bring the specific needs to the Lord. That's the kind of prayer that energizes the armor of God for maximum effectiveness. Micah 7:8. All the moms, write this verse down right now. Micah 7:8. The prophet says to the enemy, do not rejoice over me, O my enemy, whatever that enemy might be in your life and in your family. Though I fall, I will rise. Though I dwell in darkness, the Lord is a light for me. Satan has an agenda to tear your family apart and to destroy you. But you come to God in the name of Jesus, and there is great power. Please bow your heads in prayer. If you're in this room and you have seen your relationship with God as a distant idea, maybe you have prayed in your own way through the years, and you've heard today that coming to God in the name of Jesus, there's power. So I'm going to ask you to take that step on this Mother's Day. Maybe your mom has been praying for you, your grandma, and you've resisted. I'm asking you to take a step of faith right now. Lord Jesus, come into our lives is a prayer you need to pray right now. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Lord Jesus, I believe in you, in your name, and what you stand for, and what you did on the cross for me. Lord Jesus, come into my life to be a Lord, my Lord and Savior. Christ followers in this room, right now you need to renew your commitment to pray for your family and for those around you. There is great power in praying in the name of Jesus. Lord God, forgive us for not believing that promise. Lord, forgive us for not taking this command to pray without ceasing seriously. Lord God, forgive us for coming to you in prayer, but we don't come in thanksgiving. We come defeated and discouraged. Lord God, help us to claim the victory you've given to us. Through the name and power of Jesus Christ, Lord, we come to you right now. Lord God, we pray for our families that powerful things will happen in them and through them today. Lord God, would you do a great work? Would you do a great work through our prayers right now? We are praying, Lord, for our kids and our grandkids. We're praying for the families in this church. Do a great work for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray.